Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends, People magazine recently announced the man who is the most sexiest man of 2013. Did you hear about that? You know who it was? Adam. Very good. Adam Levine. Yeah, Adam sounds like a very biblical name, right? Adam Levine. And who is he? He's a judge. Who cares? Somebody's the shriek. He's a man who's a judge on a popular TV show called The Voice, right? And I just can't believe that they passed up John the Baptist again, you know? Well, anyway, John, you know the difference between John the Baptist and Adam Levine, by the way? Adam Levine is a judge on The Voice, and John the Baptist is the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare to meet thy judge," right? Huh? Not bad. John the Baptist, not the most sexiest man of the year. John's location, not on the stage, not on the screen, but out in the wilderness and near a river, not the most pleasant, popular place to be. John's attire and his diet, camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his eating, what did he eat? Locusts and wild honey. And John's message, it wasn't about politics, it wasn't about songs, it wasn't about finances, it wasn't about what's trending on Twitter. It was about you brood of vipers. And hey, don't think that Abraham is your father because God can raise up children for Abraham out of these stones. And the axe is laid at the root of the tree, ready to chop it down and throw it into the fire. In other words, his message was of judgment, God's wrath that is to come because of sin and unfaithfulness. And part of our lives as Christians during the season of Advent is to not pass go. Do not collect Christmas gifts. Do not sing Silent Night until we've stopped to listen to the loud-mouthed forerunner of Jesus, the one who comes before the Christ to prepare the way, the Bible's unsexiest man, John the Baptist. If you don't listen to John, you will not appreciate what Christmas is all about. If you're not willing to heed John's call to repent in Advent, then the forgiveness Jesus brings at Christmas will probably run off you like water off a duck's back. For the way to Bethlehem to sing "Away in a Manger" is not by clicking your heels together three times and making a wish for a white Christmas, but by listening to John's warning about the wrath that is to come and doing something about it. What are we supposed to do? Well, John told his people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be baptized and confess your sins. Declare before God and declare before one another, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in God's sight. I have not made his path straight in my crooked life. I don't deserve Giorgio Armani clothes or food from Martha Stewart's table. I deserve to be dressed like John the Baptist and to eat stomach-churning bugs and wild sap for dinner. I deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. And that's what we confess every week, don't we, in the divine service. I deserve that. Not my neighbor does. I don't just point to him and the guy who stole our HVAC. No, I have sinned. He has sinned, yeah. I have sinned too. That same sinful nature that caused him to do what he did, that same nature lurks in me. I'm a sinner too. We confess that. That's what John the Baptist stands as a witness. Say, hey, confess your sins. Receive the water baptism for repentance. We love candy canes at Christmas time hung on trees. But we forget about John the Baptist's axe laid to the root of the trees. If John the Baptist were the one decorating your Christmas tree at home, what would he decorate it with? Probably two things. Probably the first thing you'd see is an axe at the bottom of the tree, at the root of the tree, right? Imagine the Christmas axe. Can you imagine? I don't think in my house that would fly very well to put an axe at the bottom of the tree. But you could probably put some nice bows on it or something underneath. But it looks kind of dangerous, not such a good. But that'd be a good Advent tree, wouldn't it? An axe at the bottom of the tree. And the second thing John the Baptist would probably decorate your tree with is a winnowing fork, probably laying right up against the tree. What's the winnowing fork for? Well, it's a picture of our Savior. With it, he separates the wheat from the chaff. All the wheat he gathers into his barn, he said in the text, but the chaff he'll put on the threshing floor and burn it up with unquenchable fire. It's a picture of Jesus as the judge of all humanity. That which we even confess, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Well, St. John the Baptist, when he preaches about Jesus the judge, he has that judgment image in the end that's kind of scary a little bit. But once you've been washed by John the Baptist's word for repentance, and that's what we're supposed to do. It's supposed to frighten us a bit, our old sinful Adam, our sinful nature, to wake it up a bit. Remember, don't just be content. Once you've been washed by that word and that need to see the word, the need to confess your sins and to receive something from God to get rid of that sin, then you begin to get ready for Christ. And then you keep feeding that readiness with daily repentance, daily prayer, daily saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, we know why we need you to come. Because that sinful nature lurks within me." Remember your baptism. Grow in love daily for God. And grow in love for your neighbor. Grow in love for God's word. Fight against the sinful desires. And do as John told those people to do near the River Jordan long ago. Publicly confess your sins. Not just privately, but publicly confess them as we do here in church. And like John the Baptist, we warn others of the wrath to come, just as John the Baptist did and was later beheaded, didn't he? But also, John didn't just tell them about the wrath to come, did he? He wasn't just a Johnny one-note kind of preacher. He also preached about one who could do what? Take away the sin. Later we hear John the Baptist say when Jesus comes, "Behold, the Lamb of God," the sacrifice, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John preaches both law and gospel. The message of repentance and the message of receive this word of baptism. Receive this word of grace. God is going to look past your sin. He's going to cover that sin with his own blood, his own righteousness in his Son, Jesus the Lamb. Don't just repent, also receive. See the need of a forgiving Savior at Christmas and receive that gift from God. Christmas is not just about candy canes for good little boys and girls who clean their rooms. Christmas is about the gift of forgiveness of a Savior for bad little children who look into God's mirror and say, "Yep, that's me. I have sinned. And yep, I need to be saved. Yep, I need a Savior too." That's what John the Baptist stands as a witness for us in Advent. When we are washed, when we are prepared for Christ to come, God also enables us to bear good fruit for the kingdom of God, and such was part of John the Baptist's message. Bear good fruit in keeping with repentance. For we are saved by grace through faith in Christ and that alone. Yet we are saved, what? For good works that God prepared in advance that we would walk in them. So I ask you, my Christian friends, today here in the season of Advent, what can we do? We can do lots of things in love. We are not bound by certain things. We can do lots of things. One thing we organized as a church to do today after church is we're going to the veterans' home, aren't we? We're going to sing Christmas carols and share the message of the coming Savior and the Savior that came to Bethlehem long ago. We share that message with others who live and have fought for our country, the veterans. We take cards to them. That's something we do. It's a good work. We do it out of faith and love for our God, love for our neighbors, not just for ourselves. We don't do anything for ourselves that can help us in terms of our salvation. We do it out of love for God, love for our neighbor. So join us today as we go sing for the vets. You can't come today, hey, next week, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go sing to our homebound members and our shut-ins. Bring the message of Christmas to them. Bring joy to their hearts. See the smiles in their face. To see their church, their family come to their homes, come to the places where they lived, and share the message of Christ. Share the fellowship that we have as Christians in the flesh. God didn't just send a Christmas card, did he? He came in the flesh. So we come in the flesh to share the good news of Christ, our Savior, and the forgiveness of our sins. Does it matter if you can sing? Does it matter if you can sing on tune? I think what's more important is that Christ has given us something to sing about. That's why we sing. That's why we gather and bring the comfort of Christ in song. On this second Sunday in Advent, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. For as it says, all flesh will see the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.